now he moves from this judgment of the locusts in a masterly way, as most of the prophets did. But I know of nothing to compare to Joel here. He now moves from the local situation way down to the end of the age to what? He says, verse 15, alas for the day. What day are you talking about, Joel? Listen to him. For the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Now, as there have been many little models, little adumbrations of that which is coming in the future, the local plague was a sort of a day of the Lord. It was a warning. It was a picture of it. And it was that which should have alerted the people. But now he's going to tell them about something in the future. Now, that which is coming in the future, the thing that had been promised David was a kingdom. And actually, David would be raised up to rule over that kingdom. And there'd be peace on the earth. And war would cease. Now, all the prophets pick that up. But they also pick up what Joel is saying here. The day of the Lord is coming. And Joel is going to explain what the day of the Lord is. Now, the day of the Lord is in contrast to the other days that are mentioned in the Scripture. You and I are living today in what is called in Scripture man's day. It began with Nebuchadnezzar, the times of the Gentiles. The Lord Jesus labeled it that, and that Jerusalem during that period would be trodden down till the times of the Gentiles would be fulfilled. Now, man's day. We're living in man's day. Man is the one makes the judgments today. The appeal is not made to God. We appeal to the Supreme Court. But there's been no appeal made to God. And this nation has forgotten God altogether. They think it's just a word to swear by today, a word to blaspheme. Now, what is man's day? Now, I'm going to turn to a statement of Dr. Chafer in his Theology on Doctrine. And I'd like to read this because it's very important to understand what man's day is. Man's day, he says, this theme, obscured at times by translators, is referred to but once in the New Testament, namely 1 Corinthians 4:3, which reads, "But with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self." Now, in this passage here, the phrase man's judgment is really a reference to human opinion current in this age, which might properly and literally be translated man's day. That's the end of the quotation. Now, you and I are living in man's day, the day of man. Believe me, humanism abounds today. Man can solve the problems of the world today. And what has man done? He's got it in an awful mess right now. And every new politician that comes along, he's got the answer. Well, they don't have the answer. Men cannot solve the problems of this world. And I understand that there's been some talk back in the cloakrooms of our own government and in the chancelleries of the great nations of the world that actually man cannot solve the problems of the world today. All right, we're living in man's day. Now the Scripture speaks of another day that is coming, and that is the day when Christ comes to take his church out of the world, and all believers stand before him. You find that Paul in 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter, verse 7 says this, "So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." What is that day? Well, the day that he comes to take his church out, and the church comes before the judgment seat of Christ. My life verse is Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, the day of Jesus Christ is that day that he takes you and me out of the world. He's going to keep us until that day. Then we'll appear before him to see whether we receive a reward or not. That is the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, the day of Christ. Now, the New Testament speaks about the day of the Lord. And we have a very unfortunate translation again in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verse 2. He says that ye be not soon shaken in mind or trouble. That is, our gathering together unto him, that the rapture. They were afraid they'd miss the rapture, you know. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, the word Christ is not the word there. It is the word Lord. The day of the Lord is at hand. Now, he's saying to the believers, you're not going to go through the day of the Lord. Now, the scripture makes it very clear, and Joel is the one that'll define it for us, and I'll wait till we get to it. But he's going to say that the day of the Lord is darkness and gloominess, and it's a difficult day. You see, the viewpoint was that they would enter immediately into the kingdom and be a breeze and be no problem at all. And he says now, the day of the Lord begins at night. And again, I refer you to the fact that that is consistent with the Hebrew method. In Genesis, God started out by saying the evening and the morning were the first day. Evening and morning were the second day. Evening and the morning were the third day. Now you have these different days that you see. And the day of the Lord begins with darkness. And he'll make it clear what it is. It's the great tribulation period. This locust plague that has come. The four bands of the locusts, like the four horsemen of the apocalypse that ride in the great tribulation period. Now, he is saying that it'll open with that, and then it includes the coming of Christ to the earth to establish his kingdom, and then you enter into the sunshine of his presence, when the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. Now, that was the Old Testament hope. That was the thing that the Old Testament taught. Therefore, this plague of locusts was in a very real sense a miniature day of the Lord. And the plague was an adumbration of the great tribulation that is coming upon the earth. You see how important it is, friends, to study all of the Bible. Some man wrote me when we were back in Isaiah, and I referred to the day of the Lord. And I made the statement then, it began in darkness. Isaiah doesn't deal with it like that at all, because Joel had written long before Isaiah, and the people were acquainted with what he was talking about when he mentioned the day of the Lord. Now, this man went on to explain to me what he thought the day of the Lord was, and I was rather amused. He wrote several pages and gave scripture after scripture. He never gave one verse from Joel, and I watch for that. You see, apparently doesn't even know that Joel is the very key. He's the first of the writing prophets. Now, you can't say the day of the Lord is something other than what Joel says. It'll have to fit into the program here. The other prophets that came after him, why, this was used so many times, and very candidly, it occurs, I think, tell the truth, about 75 times in the entire Bible. And it occurs 5 times, and that day occurs 1 time in this particular book. Therefore, what we have here is a reference to the day of the Lord, and you're going to find that all of the prophets have a great deal to say about the day of the Lord. That day of the Lord that is coming upon the earth. And I think this is very important, friends, for us to note that. And we need to recognize that the day of the Lord is a technical term. There is man's day, the day of man, We're living in that day now. The day of Christ is coming when he'll take the church out. Then the day of the Lord begins with the great tribulation period. And after all, we label the days of the week with different names, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and so on. And can't God label these different periods of time if he wants to? And this is not something some man thought of, and I certainly would not have thought of it. This is here in the Word of God that we're looking at, and it's important to understand that. Now I read again verse 15, and I want to move on from that because it's very important. And I ought to say that the day of the Lord is not the Lord's day that is mentioned in Revelation. The Lord's day is the first day of the week, as I think is very clear from the New Testament. But a great many try to say the day of the Lord and the Lord's day are the same, just because you have the two words. Well, that to me is ridiculous, because after all, there is a difference between a chestnut horse and a horse chestnut. Just because you've got the same two words, you turn them around, you got something altogether different. In one, you got a nut, and the other, you got a horse. So that it's just a matter of turning the words around, and because you have that, doesn't mean they're the same here.